In the morning, the lady woke him, brought him downstairs, and gave him breakfast. And then she opened her Bible at John 3:16 and said to him, "Do you know about John 3:16? And he said, "Ma'am, I never knew about John 3:16 until last night when that police officer told me about it." And she began to explain. And she explained, "I really don't understand why God sent his son to save sinners. But he did. And he did it to give us life." And today I want to talk to you about the life which the Lord Jesus came to give to his people. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that today the Lord will work in your heart and draw you to himself. When Billy Bray was taken with his last illness, he asked, "Well, doctor, how is it?" "You are going to die. Glory, glory be to God. I shall soon be in heaven." He then added in a low tone and in his own peculiar way, "When I get up there, shall I give them your compliments, doctor, and tell them you will be coming too?" I wonder if that is your desire today, to be prepared for heaven, to be sure of the gift of eternal life. Well, the good news of the gospel is that God has opened up a way for sinners to be saved and to bestow salvation upon those who are lost in even the very depths of sin. Indeed, the Bible teaches us that there is no sin, no blasphemy, that shall not be forgiven if you plead the mercy of God through Christ and are cleansed in the precious blood of Jesus. I think of that text in 1 John 1:9, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so I beg you today to go to the cross and trust the Lord as your own personal Savior. And so stay tuned with us now as we go to the Word of God, and may the Lord minister to your heart. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you will stay tuned right through to the end as we bring this message from the Bible today. My prayer is that God will speak directly to your heart from the pages of Scripture, that the Spirit of God who wrote the Word will write it upon your heart. Stay tuned now as we go to the pulpit ministry of our church here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Father, we praise Thee for another time to consider the cross, to consider our Lord Jesus. And we pray that Thou wilt open our eyes, our hearts, lead us to wonderful, wonderful fellowship in the presence of the Lord today. Bless your people. Speak to each and every heart. Draw us to the cross and use us for your glory today. Come, fill us with your Spirit, and we shall give thee all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Allow me to tell you a wonderful story. In the city of Chicago, one cold winter's night, a boy was selling newspapers. He got so cold that he couldn't take it any longer. He walked up to a police officer and he asked him, "Do you know anywhere that a boy might find a warm place to stay? Because I sleep in the alley in a box and it's bitterly cold tonight." The police officer looked down at him and he said, "Son, do you see that white house down the street? You go down there and knock. And when the lady opens the door, just say John 3:16. And so he did. And as he knocked the door, the lady opened and he said John 3:16. And immediately she brought him in. And she set him at the fireplace in an old rocking chair. And there he sat for a while warming himself. And he thought, "I don't know about John 3:16. But it sure makes a cold boy feel warm." And then the lady came and she offered him a bath. And he said, I haven't had a bath, I think, in all my life. And so she put him in the tub. And as he lay there in the water, the warm, clean, cleansing water, he said to himself, John 3:16, I don't understand it, but it sure makes a dirty boy feel clean. And then she brought him downstairs and she made him a huge supper. He hadn't eaten for days, and he ate as much as he could. And as he looked at the remainder of the food, he thought, "I don't know about John 3:16, but it sure makes a hungry boy feel full." And then she took him upstairs to bed. She tucked him in under the feather quilt. And as he lay there in the darkness and saw the snow falling in the window pane, he said, "I don't know about John 3:16, but it sure makes a boy feel warm." In the morning, the lady woke him, brought him downstairs, and gave him breakfast. And then she opened her Bible at John 3:16 and said to him, "Do you know about John 3:16? And he said, "Ma'am, I never knew about John 3:16 until last night when that police officer told me about it." And she began to explain. And she explained, "I really don't understand why God sent his Son to save sinners. But he did. And he did it to give us life." And today I want to talk to you about the life which the Lord Jesus came to give to his people. Philosophers from generations and centuries have been debating and postulating about what is the best life.
Everybody wants to find their own desert island, their own little piece of paradise on earth, and people wonder what is the best form of it. Well, all men ponder and even dream of a little bit, but there is this quest for the idyllic life, and everyone has their ideas. But the Lord Jesus has done the unthinkable. He has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he pointed to himself, not to a theory, not to a principle, not to a work, but me. Me in this human body. I am life, and I am come to give that life more abundantly. Right through this book of John, you find this theme of life over and over again. Chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We find him speaking to the woman at the well, and this woman who came for the physical water, Jesus said to her, I will give you to drink of water of which you'll never thirst again. And she quizzed him about it. And he revealed to her that he was the Messiah, the Savior. And that woman was truly satisfied. And here as we look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth in him. And it's not a theory, it's not a principle, it's not a work, it's a personal relationship. Just as you know and trust in your husband or wife, your mother, your father, you trust in them, you know them, and that personal link is directly to a person. I want us to think today about this life, which is for believers in the Lord Jesus. I know this is a gospel text. It's a text that we would quote to our neighbors and those who are out of Christ who need a Savior. But do we as Christians really drink from it? One of the difficulties of texts like this is that we're so wonderfully familiar with it that we end up just quoting it, and it runs so freely off our lips that we can miss the meat that is in the message. Firstly, let's think about the very nature of the life that is in the Lord Jesus. What kind of life are we talking about? Is it some mystical thing? Is it some ethereal thing? Where does it come from? What is it? What's the difference between my body breathing naturally and this life that Jesus is offering here to the world? Well, of course, it's life that begins by regeneration. The Lord had just been talking about you must be born again. And this miracle of the new birth, this miracle of being born of the Spirit, or as it is in the original, born from above. And the Lord Jesus is the one who came from above. He's that bread that came down from heaven to give life unto his people. And this brings us into true sonship to the family of God. It brings us into fellowship with God. And of course, it means that we become a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. We're a new creature. When you're born again, you have life from above. And that's what a Christian is. That's what your life is now as a believer in the Lord Jesus. I trust you're enjoying that every day. And this is a miracle. This will never cease to stagger your mind. You'll wake up in the morning and you will say, is it really true that I'm a Christian? Really true that I have this new life in the Lord Jesus, and that he lives in me and dwells in me? And as we sing, I know that he lives because he walks with me and talks with me, and he lives within my heart. This is the new life that the Christian wonderfully enjoys. But it's not the end just here, because this life is going to be promoted at the resurrection. We will one day enjoy resurrection life, because Christians too grow old. These bodies of ours decline, decay, we stoop over, we end up in the grave, and we need this new resurrection life. And so no matter what is going on in our bodies, no matter what is going on in our frame, we do not lose the life that Jesus came to give unto his people. And of course, the big part of the Easter message is that Christ rose from the tomb. He is alive, alive forevermore, and that by his resurrection, he guarantees our resurrection. And this is the whole doctrine of the gospel. So when we talk about life, everlasting life, you have to think about regeneration, you have to think about resurrection. And on that day when our bodies will be raised out of the grave, reunited with our spirits, which are already in heaven. Let me back up now and give you the timeline. When we die and the breath leaves the body, the spirit ascends to be with God in spirit form. The Bible, Hebrews 12, speaks about the souls of just men made perfect, or the spirits of just men made perfect. And so the Christian in spirit form, absent from the body, instantly present with the Lord. And then on the resurrection day, these bodies that are laid in the grave are going to be reunited with our spirits. And so we shall be ever be with the Lord. How can this be? Well, how did God create the world? What power was involved in bringing order out of chaos, creating ex nihilo out of nothing? He had to create the matter before he formed the matter. And this is the God who takes the very dust of our bodies, raises us up in the likeness of the Lord. And Paul, of course, at great length in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." And so this is the expectation of the Christian. This corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortality shall put on immortality. Our life is yet before us. We haven't seen much of it yet. We have Christ in our heart. We have the new birth, but we're also going to receive new bodies on that resurrection day. And that's called glorification. And the Bible has a whole doctrine of the glorification of the body, how we are changed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. Now, here on earth, you are being changed into the image of God's Son. You are being changed into his beauty in with graces and with the Spirit of the Lord living in your heart. Your old proud, sinful nature is being put down, and the new nature is being fed and nourished so that you more and more act like, talk like, think like, and live like the Son of God. You are being changed every day by his grace. But then there comes the day when we are changed in body, and we are changed into his likeness. 1 John 3, if you would turn there, please. 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 2. We have this truth that we shall on that day be changed into his likeness. "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." So take heart in that. What you see today of yourself in the mirror, that's not how you're going to look like in heaven. You're going to be very different. But we know that when he shall appear, Christ returns, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And there will be the glorification of our bodies. What a wonderful transformation. And it's that life that Jesus came to give. We're not talking about some transcendental meditation, some smoky, magical process. We're talking now about real life. Life in the body, with new bodies. Life that is not only the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in our hearts, but us in glory for all eternity with our Savior. Our personal relationship completed. And for all eternity, we will enjoy the presence, enjoy the wonder, and the company of our Lord Jesus. So what is this life that Jesus is offering? He that believeth in me shall have everlasting life. This is heaven. This is glory. This is new bodies, resurrection. It's regeneration. And I trust today that you are born again and that you are delighting in this life that you have and that you may look forward to. We ought not to fear death. Now, we may fear the dying process. None of us enjoy seeing what we sometimes see in a person in their final stage of life. It can be very disheartening to see that, very difficult. And it's good for a Christian to pray, Lord, give me an abundant entrance into glory. And whatever day that the time is right, take me home. Don't leave me suffering, lingering in a mangled body that is dysfunctioning. Lord, just take me home. And as we cry to the Lord to release us from the earthly abode, we have this hope, this wonderful hope, that we shall be with Christ, which is far better, instantly in the Spirit, but eternally after the resurrection day with God in a new body, a wonderful body. So here is the life, and it's worth living for. It's the best life possible. It is the answer to all the trials of this world. We have new life in the Lord Jesus. Now, this life is in Jesus only because he purchased it for us at the cross. That's our redemption. And it is life for us because he laid down his life in our place. And of course, in that way, Jesus is the life giver. He releases us from the curse. He releases us from the claims of the law. And he brings redemption, liberty, into our lives by his death on the cross. And that's why we take great delight in the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. He died as a lamb. He died as a sacrifice. He died as a priest offering up a sacrifice. But it was done for us in our place. And this is why the life is in the Lord Jesus. This is why the truth of John 14:6 is so fixed. It's concrete. It cannot change. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because on that cross, he's the one who laid down his life, a sinless life, an infinitely valuable life, that he would pour life into us who were dying due to sin. Indeed, on that cross, Jesus took our hell. The great mystery of the cross is God pouring out his wrath upon God. That is, God the Father pouring out his wrath upon God the Son, so that all the hell, all the fury of God for the broken law fell upon the Lord Jesus. And in the body of Jesus, he absorbed that wrath. Now, when you study all the sacrifices of the Bible, you will find how they were slain. The skin was torn off. Their parts were severed and placed on the grate to be burned. And that fire, the very fat of the animal, fueled the fire. And that offering was made, and the fire rose up, and the reek of the very smoke ascended to God as a sacrifice well-pleasing. When our Lord Jesus died on the cross, the fire of God's wrath fell upon Jesus. But it didn't fuel the fire. It exhausted the fire. It was totally put out. So that you can say, there's no more wrath for me. All the wrath, all the fire of God's anger's gone. And there is now peace. Peace. And we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, by trusting in Him.
Peace with God is one of the greatest blessings that you can ever have. And I want you to have that peace through your personal faith in the Lord Jesus. So today, give up the ways of the world, give up sin, give up everything that's between you and God, and come to the Savior. On that cross, He suffered everything for you. But now you must surrender everything unto Him. And it is by that total surrender that you find victory in your own heart and soul. Not that you can change your own life, but by surrendering to Christ, you invite Him to change you and to bring you to that place of peace with God and power through the gospel. And of course, the Holy Spirit comes in. He gives you a new heart. He gives you new power. And He lives the life that you should live by the grace of God operating within you. It's not of our own will, but of His will to work in you, His word and His will. And so I trust that today that you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And if I can be of any personal help, make sure you give us a call here at the Free Presbyterian Church. The announcements now are coming up. Well, I hope that you have been blessed today through the message of the gospel. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to invite you along to our Easter Friday service here at our church, 4 p.m. on Easter Friday. That's this coming Friday, 4 p.m. here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We have our one-hour service followed by a church fellowship dinner. And this is an invitation to our radio listeners to join us. Perhaps you live a little bit of a distance away, and we'd love to have you, even on this special occasion, to come along, join with us here for our special service and fellowship meal to follow. So that's this coming Friday, 4 p.m. here at our church. And we extend this invitation. Just give us a call, give us an email, let us know you're coming if you're planning to join us with us for the meal. And of course, as ever, we'll be preaching the cross, Christ's death for sinners, God's way of saving sinners, and the message which the Holy Ghost will use to convert sinners. And I trust that you will know the way of salvation by faith in the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Now, of course, you can get all these details from our website at www.cloverdalefpc.ca or Let the Bible Speak, just ltbs.ca. And so I trust that you'll continue to join with us at these times, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., also Sundays at 9:30. If you want literature or personal help, send us an email or give us a call at 604-576-1091. May the Lord bless you through His Word.